I'm Lisa Davis.
And I'm Sunny Days.
So glad you're listening to Active Allyship. It's more than a hashtag. We are taping this on the Tuesday before the Tuesday that is the election. And I am very, very hopeful, but also a little nervous because I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to become complacent. I did cast my vote.
Well, I have not.
Did you not vote yet?
I have not voted yet. Yet is the operative word. I requested a mail-in ballot, but I don't want to mail it in. Not because I don't trust the Postal Service, but I actually felt like, okay, I have my mail-in ballot. I don't have to worry about standing in line. I can complete it from the comfort of my home, and then I can just drop it off. And so I didn't want to, I wanted to be more towards the tail end of early voting because I still wanted to feel that energy. I didn't want to cast my vote too early. So I do plan to vote this week so that I am out of the madness of the third. And I really, like, honestly, I have no idea what the outcome is going to be. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. But whatever the outcome is, I'm just not sure how people are going to respond to that. So I want to make sure that I have everything I need, you know, in terms of going out and about and just be in, because I'm just not sure about the mental state of so many people with this election, one way or the other. Listen, we had planned to bring you some good news stories today. That was our goal. But, you know, as life would have it, we've had to pivot. So again, unfortunately, we are having to present news on another police shooting of a Black man. Walter Wallace in Philadelphia was struggling with mental health issues. And, you know, his mom called the police to get help, and her son ended up being killed, shot 10 times by the police. And I think one of the things that's very telling in this news article is NBCnews.com is the mayor says, "I have watched the video of this tragic incident, and it presents difficult questions that must be answered." And that's Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney. Now, if the mayor is saying that, then there's a problem. There's a problem.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we're clear.
Yeah. And, you know, it brings us back to defund the police, which, again, I think I like to think of reimagine the police. So the woman who cuts my hair, her son has autism and some mental health issues. And she called, they're white. She called the police for help. He was up on the roof saying he was going to kill himself. They got him down. They threw him to the ground. He has anxiety. He had a major panic attack. He spit in the cop's face and he got charged with assault and battery. This isn't helpful. Now, if he was Black, they would have shot him. My point is that this is not helpful. We need mental health professionals on the scene. The police are not well equipped or equipped to handle these situations. For a white child that ended up with assault and battery charge, with a Black person, a Black man, it ended up in death.
They are ill equipped. I mean, the police reform, it's going to have to be major, like the training, just the thought processes, the programming, the fear mongering. Like, I can't imagine what the conversations are in roll call. And so if you are a white officer who has only ever been around white people and you have only ever heard, bad things about people of color, then you're afraid. You're on pins and needles and you're quick to draw, you know, versus let's talk about this. And so, you know, as I said before, I've seen too many videos where white men are in crisis and they're not shot dead. Like the police, I mean, I envision these scenes where the police are running around cars trying to get away from the white man with whatever it is in his hand.
Yeah, the crowbar.
him, or they're like, man, we don't have to do this. Or the white man could be wrestling with the police. Like, it gets physical and they don't end up dying. Like, they're not killed. And so this is a huge, huge problem. And I agree. I remember when Debbie Irving was on the show and she said, reimagine the police. And I thought, brilliant, because people are confused by defund the police. It's like, we don't need the police at all. Absolutely, we need police presence, but in what capacity? And we need to be clear about their role, the role of our mental health professionals, social workers, who I'm sure don't get paid enough. Like, we really need to, I want to say, revamp the system, because people are dying unnecessarily. Black men specifically are dying unnecessarily. And, you know, Lisa, I really do. I try to keep my vibrations high and to meditate and burn incense and oils. I'm human at the end of the day. I have seen time and time again, Lisa, where white men have a mental crisis. They are crazy as fuck, and the police don't shoot them. And I don't know if you can feel my energy shift. It's my anger and continued trauma about our Black men being gunned down in the street like fucking animals when the police could do something different. I mean, my God, if you're fucking afraid of Black people, then get another fucking job. Don't be a police officer. If you're fearful. How many times have people had knives and screwdrivers and everything? What is your fucking taser for? What is your taser for that you decide that you want to first reach for your weapon and shoot this dude 10 times? You see that his mother is there trying to help the situation. His family has called you for help because he's having a mental crisis. And then you fucking gun him down in front of his family. Like, that's where this is coming from. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with the fact that it's so fucking traumatic. It's so traumatic for men and women of color to have these incidences happen and still have to wake up the next day and show up 1,000% just like nothing has happened. And it's not old news to me. Every single solitary time it happens, I'm impacted by it. You can't understand the pain unless you're walking in the shoes of the person who's experiencing the pain. And to have weekly a person of color, monthly, it's just too much. Gunned down unnecessarily. I mean, you talk about overkill, like, why? You're police training. You've got to do something besides reach for your gun. You've got to. But you know, your mental state and this programming, it just goes back to what the police are being fed, you know, and are their fears being fed? And in addition to their fears being fed, are they fucking white supremacists who are looking for an opportunity to kill? Where's my other article?
Well, I'm never speechless, but I'm just so heartsick and angry. And things have got to change. People, please vote. I know that's not going to like magically change everything, but we have to start somewhere. And then we have to hold our politicians accountable. Once Biden wins the election, fingers crossed, then I want to have those conversations, right? Right now, we just have to get what's going on out of the White House, out of the system. We're going to share a couple of other stories. These are positive stories, and I'm going to share one right now.
Remember back when that horrible woman, Amy Cooper, called the police and said, an African-American man is threatening my life, and he was basically bird watching and just asked her to put her dog on a leash.
Right.
And then we have another gentleman in San Francisco who is stenciling Black Lives Matter on his own property, and these white people are accusing him of vandalism and saying, you don't live there. We know the people who live there, which I don't even know how anyone has the audacity to do that when that guy who was stenciling actually lives there. So thank goodness the Karen Act cautioned against racial and exploitive non-emergencies act. The measure passed the chamber with all 11 supervisors voting yes. The name is a nod to the widespread meme using the name Karen to describe a specific type of white middle-aged woman who exhibits behaviors that stem from privilege, such as using the police to target people of color. Again, this is from sanfrancisco.cbslocal.com. And this is from Shimon Walton, who authored the measure. Quote, we want to make sure people don't continue to weaponize emergency calls to law enforcement. And it goes on to say, under the Karen Act, calls to 911 with the specific intent to discriminate over someone's race, ethnicity, national origin, place of birth, sexual orientation, gender identity, or religion is banned. Victims of such calls will also be allowed to sue the caller. It has now been approved by the supervisors, so it is now illegal to do these horrible racist calls to 911. At this point, it has to go to the mayor.
It also says that other places have moved to make placing racist 911 calls a hate crime. California's governor recently signed a measure making the crime a misdemeanor, punishable by jail time and a fine. And we already know that New York approved legislation allowing the victims of racist 911 calls to sue. So I'm happy. I think more states and principalities should make this type of behavior punishable. Like hands down, it should be made punishable because this has happened for far too long. I mean, again, we go all the way back to Emmett Till. You know, the white woman lied on him and he lost his life. You know, and thankfully, the gentleman who was bird watching did not lose his life and everything was caught on video. So, I mean, and so many other things have happened since then. There was an incident where some people of color were renting an Airbnb. And no shit, the couple next door to the Airbnb walked into the house questioning the people of color who were there. What were they doing? I mean, literally just walked through the front door. What are you doing here? And who are you? And so the guy was like confused, as I would have been. So it was a woman and her husband, and they're like, well, we are concerned, you know, because this is our neighbor's house and we understood it to be for sale. And, you know, we're just seeing people going in and out of here and we just want to know what you guys are doing. I was flabbergasted. I just could not believe the audacity that people have, like this boldness that you feel so secure walking into a home that is not yours, questioning what people are. I mean, literally, you could tell he wasn't burglarizing. He's in there watching TV and they just burst through the front door asking questions. And so once the guy talked to them, and he definitely remained more calm than I would have, once he explained that it was an Airbnb, you know, then they started looking stupefied and was like, you know, we're sorry. Don't make this about race. It's not about race. You know, we're concerned about our neighborhood. So why are you concerned about your neighborhood? I mean, it's just,
Well, they're just liars. It is about race.
Oh, of course.
So we have two more stories. Black Americans are fired up, which actually follows this, right? And flocking to the polls. So for one of my daughter's class, she has to look up a weekly current event and answer some questions. And so she found this and she was super excited. So she told me about it. And here we are. So yeah, again, Black Americans are fired up and flocking to the polls. This is by Faith Karimi, CNN, October 27, 2020. I'll just read a little bit. Dave Richards arrived at his polling place before dawn, carrying a blue lawn chair and a giant bottle of water. Quote, this election is more important than the 2008 one for Barack Obama. That 2008 one was for change and making history. This election is for saving the U.S., Richards says, citing concerns about racial justice and suppression of Black voters. Quote, the racial divide that is going on, we need someone who's going to be a leader for everyone, not just their base. And that talks about how Black voters are turning out in huge numbers. And many Black voters say they don't trust Trump. And that makes me happy.
We should be showing up anyway as people of color. But I was also reading that young people are showing up in droves, like droves, early voting, and, you know, in comparison to the last election. So I'm excited for everybody. But, you know, it's everybody against racism. While people of color feel the brunt of racism, we all are impacted by it. And so absolutely, we should be showing up to the polls. Absolutely. But everybody should be showing up to the polls. Everybody who is against racism and racist behavior and the political divide that is now occurring should be showing up to the polls or mailing their ballot in or dropping it off in an official ballot box, because we know that people are tampering with the ballot boxes. I saw something early where this guy was posting like ballot information on a trash can. I saw another article, and forgive me for not quoting it, but I read so much, where somebody actually set a fire to one of the official ballot boxes. And so you have the firemen now trying to tear the box apart, put out the fire, and take out the ballots that can be saved. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That people, this voter suppression, the police officer that showed up in uniform with his
Trump hat.
Trump. No, he had a Trump face mask.
Trump mask. That's right.
He had a Trump face mask. And then the New York police officer that was on the loudspeaker in the neighborhood saying vote for Trump 2020 put this on. I mean, it's just like in uniform. People have lost their flipping minds.
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah, so we all need to show up. And yes, I am happy that we are showing up in record numbers, but really everybody needs to show up in record numbers to stop this madness. The madness has got to stop.
Yeah, it's true. I like what playwright and composer Nolan Williams Jr., 51, says. He lives in Washington, D.C. He plans to vote in person on Election Day. He has composed an anthem, I Have a Right to Vote, to raise awareness of voter suppression and motivate Black people to cast their ballots. It features original Hamilton cast member Christopher Jackson, entertainer Billy Porter. Oh, I love Billy Porter. And others reciting the words of abolitionist Frederick Douglass, the late Rep. John Lewis, and the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, quote, wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Quote, for African Americans in this country, voting is the most effective way for us to effect the change we seek. Given the events of this summer, it is crucial for our community to translate our social protests into political action, Williams said, referring to the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the unrest that followed. So I like to find that song. It doesn't say where it is, but I'm going to look it up. Again, this gentleman is named Nolan Williams Jr.
I have another good news story. Megaphone.upworthy.com has an article. This happened a couple of months ago, but it talks about how this man of color was amazed by a white woman who stopped to film a traffic stop. He was pulled over by the police. And this particular guy happens to be an actor. His name is Karan Harris. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And he goes by the name King Karan. And, you know, it says that he's a popular comedian on social media. And he stars in HBO's Insecure and ABC's Blackish. He goes on to talk about how he was pulled over by the police and he looked across the street and saw a white woman sitting in her car filming the incident. And he said he was concerned at first. But then once he looked at her face, he could see that she was concerned and really wanted to make sure that he was okay. So he's like, I'm just sitting in my car waiting. And, you know, as he's waiting, he looks to the left and he sees her car parked, like filming this whole exchange, and wants to make sure that he was safe, but really got me. And I thought it was so connected to what we're doing. He says, at first, or the article says, at first, Harris wasn't sure what to make of her. But when he saw that she looked concerned, he realized that she was being an ally. And that's so important. He goes on to say that as a Black man, you're not used to your allies, Harris said, but we really got allies now. And so that just, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And I'm so thankful that he had this experience.
Well, the video of him talking about this is on our Facebook page, Active Allyship. It's more than a hashtag. And I have to say, his expressions are so great when he was talking about when he wasn't really sure. And then when he saw the concerned look, he kind of imitated her look. And it was awesome. And then he gave her a thumbs up and she gave him a thumbs up. And it was just the way he described it was really, really lovely. And I was so excited when he said ally.
That's important. Allyship is so important. Like that's a perfect example of active allyship. Like that's a perfect example. It's not just a title. Like you have to show up. You have to be accountable. You got to do the work. And sometimes it's hard work. But I mean, imagine being a person of color. Like I'm sure you would not want to change places. So
yeah, definitely. Well, you know, Sunny, I think today was intense. I mean, there's good things going on. There's shit things going on. A week from today, I'm hoping we'll know who the president is. I'm hoping for a landslide, but we'll have to see.
Again, I'm very hopeful that, you know, the sky is always blue and so are the seas. I'm counting on blue.
Did you see my video of me in my fancy sequin?
I did.
Little blue dress.
I was like, that was so funny. I said, look at Lisa. Look at Lisa.
You know me, any chance to show off my cleavage. I do like cleavage. Jesus. But, you know, it's funny because my husband and I had planned to vote together. And then I thought, I need to have a little fun. I need to jazz things up. So I went in this dress I've never even worn. It's this very tight, short, low-cut sequins blue dress. And I said, hon, I'm going to wear this. He goes, yeah, I'm not going with you. Because he's a guy, he's an introvert. He doesn't like attention. He doesn't want it. And I am embarrassing. I mean, let's just be honest. I'm loud. I'm like, you know, flashy, whatever. Sometimes. I'm always loud, but I'm usually not flashy. I'm usually like in sweatpants or my athleisure wear or whatever. At any rate, I went, I did a video. It's fun. It's funny. It's gotten over 8,500 views.
Oh, wow.
You can check it out. I'll give you the way to see it. It's on Twitter and Instagram at Lisa Davis MPH. So be sure to check it out. And Sunny, where do we find you? What a nice segue. Look at that.
I know, right? I am Sunny Days Always on Twitter. And I am Sunny Days Always. Nope. I can never do the shit right.
Well, that's like me because I got the you, did you hear?
Right. I still know where people can find me. So I am Sunny Days Always. Sunny with an I, Days with a Z, Always with a Z. Sunny Days Always on Twitter. Sunny Days _ Always on Instagram.
All right. So people, if you haven't voted, get out and vote. Please vote blue. We need a blue wave. We need a flipping blue tidal wave, people. Come on. And be sure to keep coming back to Active Allyship. It's more than a hashtag.